So, Frosty the Snowman. He was. But not until something very important happened.
He melted.
He had.
No.
The magician stole his hat.
But it wasn't about the cap. He was just a pile of snowballs. Until something happened.
The kid tried to make him. Oh, he was given life.
He came to life one day. Right? He came to life. What made Frosty alive?
Magic.
The fact that he could walk and talk.
The magician's hat.
Move on his own and have sentient thought. That's what made him alive.
Okay. So walking and talking can be done by a robot.
But sentient thought.
Okay. Right.
Breathing.
So something made him unique. Thoughts. And thoughts are more than just a mechanical piece of you, right? They come from an internal part of you. Your thoughts are something that comes from an internal part of you. Even if they're wrong, I guess, because Frosty thought it was his birthday, right?
Well, I guess it was.
I guess. Right? No! He came out and said happy birthday to everybody else.
Happy
right? See? So he was wrong.
Happy birthday!
Right? Okay? So he came to life, and there was something unique about him, not about this pile of snow. And of course, Frosty is just a funny cartoon, right? For most of us, anyways. And the idea is that there's something between the pile of snow and the came to life part. Something unique. Very unique. Very different. And we want to talk about life tonight, but then we want to go beyond life because we're going to talk about resurrection.
Rossi did that too.
Rossi is sort of resurrected after a cold Christmas wind came in, right? Right? So it's interesting that it was a wind to resurrect. We're going to go into look at Adam first. So turn to Genesis in your books, your Bible books. Genesis chapter 2. To pick up that difference of what happened in real life, not to Frosty necessarily. Frosty was said to have magic that made him become alive. And you're not really alive, right? If your body's just there, you have to have some sort of connection from your spirit and or inner parts of you, at least your soul, to your outer parts of you so the people know you're alive, right? And yes, he walked and he talked and did things like that, but they didn't really know until they saw those things, that there was something going on inside. All right? Chapter 2, Genesis, verse number 7. Go ahead, Krista.
Okay. Should I just read verse 7?
Just verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7.
And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being.
Okay. So what was unique, just like Frosty's a pile of snowballs, right? Adam is just a pile of dirt. Until the wind. Oh, the wind, yes. The wind from God's breath comes in him. Is it physical?
Yes.
I think maybe. God definitely does a lot of things. He created a very physical world. He could have created a world in which just spirits floated around with no physical bodies. Would it be?
No.
Because what would you... How would you experience the world? How do you experience the world?
Senses.
Your senses. Which are?
Seeing.
Tasting.
Tasting.
Touching, smelling.
Okay. So see, you have five senses, physical senses, that touch into this world. They give you all of your experience into this world. Almost. There's a bit more. But pretty much how you know this world is by that physical touching, tasting, smelling, hearing, okay, and seeing things. Yes, you go places and do it. But Adam, God created Adam in such a way that he could have an experience. A short experience, albeit, because Adam and Eve messed it all up, right? But God's intention was not for him to have a short experience. God's intention was for him to have an eternal experience. And so he created the human body to completely regenerate. And I don't mean necessarily you chop your arm off and regenerate, although I don't know what could happen. Right? Because when did Jesus do that? Regenerate a body part that came off.
The ear.
The ear. Right? Peter cut off the guy's ear, and Jesus, boom, just on his back again. Okay? To full, regular size, whatever, of an ear. Strength of an ear, I guess. If your ear is strong. I don't know. So is that, it's not beyond the realm of possibility, but God intended humans originally to regenerate forever. And then along came Adam and Eve, and sin got messed up into the world, and they really made it so that all of a sudden things changed. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in order to have that body, so this is back to that old drawing that I do, soul is your inner part of you, okay, that people know, that includes your personality, whether you're funny, or how, you know, what people get to know you by, all right? Somebody more than just looking at you as you walk by. They look and they see, hey, I see that person is a blah, blah, blah. I can tell what their hair color is, their skin color is, how tall they are, how wide they are, how short they are, whatever. Okay, I can tell that stuff. I can tell if they have big eyebrows or no eyebrows. But I don't really know until I go and communicate with them or talk with them what's inside of them. Alright, so there's that piece of your soul. And then, inside of that, inside of a deeper part of you, okay, and it's not like a part you can cut out. This is the mystery of how God puts together a human being. He created a spirit. And the spirit is something I can't, a surgeon can't do surgery on my spirit. He can't cut it off of me. It can't be taken away from me. It's part of my being. Totally part of my being. Alright? So, inside of that internal part of me is that spirit. And that spirit is where God works. Okay? God begins there, then the deepest, most recessed part of you, and works out. But God is not stopping there. He continues to work through your personality and then through your body. And what we want to talk about is what happens after you die. All right? What's the next step? What goes on later after you die? And what is it like for you? What will your experience be after you die? All right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 12 through verse 19. This is an important part, and this is where we're starting. One of the foundations of what we believe. In fact, it is probably one of the most foundational things of what we believe is resurrection. Resurrection. And that means what?
Brought back to life.
What part of you?
The physical body.
The physical body. And what does brought back to life mean? Like Frosty?
Raised from the dead.
Okay. So, you die, and I put your body in a box. And throw you in the ground, and then we'll say it's 50 years. Okay? And you're resurrected. What happens?
It's stuck back in there.
Okay, right. What gets stuck back in there?
The soul and the spirit.
The soul and the spirit goes back into your body, okay? And let's hope that it looks a little better than if you just dug it up down here on Earth. But we know it actually does because there's something that we're doing, and we'll talk about that in a moment, something that God does in putting the body in the ground. Okay? And I'm not saying that he can't do it with... It doesn't matter whether you rotted away. It doesn't matter whether you, some people feel very strongly about getting cremated or buried. I'm not even talking about that. What I'm talking about is God reunites a physical body, your physical body, with your soul and your spirit. He has the ability to put that together, whether you are ashes or dirt and the worms are crawling through your nostrils. I don't know. But either way, he can do that. He has the ability to reach down in and do it. Does he gather up all the molecules? I don't know, okay? I don't know how he does that, but he does it, okay? So, resurrection is an important part. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12 through 19. That's 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 19. Please, nice and loud. Okay, so when I went to horseshoeing school back years ago, there were some basic things you had to learn. Some very basic understandings that you had to have. Okay? And my teacher was insistent that we learn how to take our horseshoes and heat them up in a forge to be able to shape them correctly. Now, a lot of guys were going to go out and never use a forge again. They were going to take their preformed shoe, and they were going to use their anvil and beat it and bend it and shape it cold and nail it onto the horse's hoof. Okay? But what he said is, I don't care what you do after you leave this class, but you will understand the fundamentals of what's going on and how to do it with the how to actually form metal, how to shape it like a shoe. And so what he did was he made us make our own shoes from scratch. Here's a bar of metal, a long bar of metal. Figure out how much you actually need to make it shaped like a horseshoe. Okay, and there's formulas to make it shaped like that horseshoe. You have to figure out what it is. And then when you figure it out and you size it up and you say, wow, isn't that great? And then you say, it's a bar of steel. There's nothing to nail it to the bottom of the horse's hoof with. So then you had to cut grooves and you had to punch holes in it. And you had to make it so it was a horseshoe. But you had to understand the fundamentals of it. And he said, you will understand them before you leave this class. He was insistent upon that. And we did. We all knew how to shoe horses when we were done. He taught us those basics. Christianity is that way in that you have to understand a few very fundamental things. And what Paul is saying here, if you don't believe in resurrection, you cannot call yourself a believer in Christ. If you don't believe that someday that old dead rotten body of yours is going to come up out of the ground and God has the power to do that, all right, then if he can't resurrect and he doesn't have the power to resurrect, then Jesus didn't resurrect either. And Paul says, if Jesus didn't resurrect, then you aren't forgiven. Because he never reversed death. Okay? He never broke the curse. If he didn't truly resurrect from the dead, he never broke the curse. And you still are in your sins, and you have no hope. So resurrection is one of those fundamental things you must understand. You must believe it. You must know this is how it is. And you can say, well, he rose, Jesus rose spiritually. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says always he rose of his body up. He took that body and took it up. Now, did it come out differently? Yes. It definitely came out differently, but it was still his body. Okay? So, we have to understand how it came out differently. This is the difference. Okay? This is what we're going to do. Keep on going to verse number 25 and 26 as we understand a little bit more. Verse 26. Okay, so when Christ died on the cross and he rose up from the grave, there's the grave, okay? Angels rolled the stone away, he rose up from the grave. He was different than when he walked on the earth. And yet, it was still his same body. What he did, though, and it says it in Revelation, is he took a trip to hell. All right? And why did he take a trip to hell? He actually did preach to some people, specific people. What did he do when he rose up from the dead? It gave him something.
Power over death.
The power over death. He claimed the title. Okay? He did it. Now I own it. And it says it was the last enemy to die. Okay? He rose up from the grave. He defeated death. But we still struggle with death. Right? We all are going to die. Every one of us. So if he defeated death that day, why wait?
Why don't we all just get translated up to God as soon as we believe? He already did it, right? Okay, yep, we have to tell other people, and more than that, there is growth for us to make. God is using this world as an opportunity for us to grow, to change, and for Him to work through us, okay? Could He do it all in one fell swoop? Yes, He can. But this is the way God's chosen to do this. In His wisdom, He's chosen to allow us to live this life, struggle a bit in this life, in order to do something better. Right? You see a caterpillar, right? Everybody knows what a caterpillar does? Oh, look, there they are. Caterpillars. See? Caterpillars. What do?
They turn into butterflies.
They turn into butterflies, but how do they do it?
They make cocoons.
They have a metamorphosis, yes. So they crawl inside this cocoon, make this thing all around themselves, sew it all up, and then
they sleep,
okay, sort of. Until
resurrected in powers.
Until they are changed, okay? And what do they have to do to change?
They sleep, right?
They do, but then inside they have to do something.
Grow.
They're growing, they're changing, they're becoming a butterfly. And then what's very important about it? Do you not know this story? The man that came along and found, and I guess this is a true, I mean it's definitely true. He came along and he found a butterfly almost emerged from its cocoon. He could see it stretching, pushing.
Oh, it has to build up strength to get out.
Okay. Has to build up strength. He slit the cocoon, and the butterfly came up and came out, flew up to a branch, and died. Okay? Because the process in which God chose to make that work was the blood, and I guess scientists have figured this out, basically the struggle creates the blood flow, which gets it to the ends and the tips of wherever a vein inside of a butterfly is. I'm not really sure. But it needs that flow to develop its strength. And if it doesn't develop its strength, it doesn't ever have that ability to force and push against something else. Okay? We have that bit of a struggle here on this earth, right? Forcing and pushing against sin and the struggle. Okay? And I think until you know what your struggle with your own sin is, know what the battle with your own sin is like, you cannot appreciate the freedom which God will give you in heaven, in eternity. I think it's difficult to appreciate it. God knows that about us. And so He says, you can struggle with this a bit. I will change you. I will help you. I will make you something different. But the development that you have, although God does it all, but God allows you to struggle in it, right? God makes the change. God allows you to struggle in it and become developed through that change and have the ability to understand a bit better. Okay, God allows you to do that a little bit more. So, what happens in death? Verse 37, the same chapter, verse 37. Wherever we left off, please. Okay, so when you plant, a piece of corn or a piece of wheat, you start out with something very small. Is it wheat?
Sort of.
It's a piece. It's certainly not as nice as a full stalk of wheat grown up. Or you plant a piece of corn. We had some silver queen corn tonight. If you don't know what that is, I'm sorry. It's usually great. It was not as good as could be tonight. But silver queen corn is all white corn. It's kind of an older variety. It's good, sweet corn. If you find the really good stuff, it's great. Take one kernel of that, and I can save it. And I can plant it next year. One kernel is not a whole year. And it's definitely not a whole entire stalk grown to its fullness, huge, can be 10, 12 feet high, can be higher than that. Okay? It's not that whole piece. It's representative of a piece. You can't say it's not corn, because it is, right? You take that little kernel of corn, it's corn, but it's not like a whole stalk of corn. This is your body now. Okay? It's like that kernel. What will it be? Well, this is representative of what it will be. And is that one kernel of corn, what happens to that one kernel of corn when you plant it in the ground? Okay. So when does that little bit of corn, does it ever lose its identity in the plant? Is it gone?
Well, no.
You put it in the ground, and then out of it comes this little, which grows up, and then it grows a whole entire root system, and grows stalks and leaves. It goes all the way up, right? And then it grows and it tassels out on top. And then there's big ears of corn. All that wonderful stuff, right? Okay. Is the kernel of corn still there?
Somewhere.
Somewhere. And it all came from that kernel of corn, didn't it? Did it lose that kernel of corn? Nope. Still there. It showed its full potential. All of it was in that little tiny kernel. The potential to do that. Right? That little tiny seed put in the ground. All the potential was there. But you certainly don't see it in that little tiny yellow dried up piece of corn. So this is what Paul is saying about our bodies. You don't see the potential of what God created in our bodies. We struggle in these bodies. Our bodies have limits. I cannot run across the ridge of the roof on the church, jump to the top of the steeple, and then jump to the ground without something happening to me. Okay? And it probably would not be good. My body has a limit. It may be the last jump I take. Okay? You would peel me out of the pavement. Okay? Yes, with shovels and things, I guess. Okay? But my body is still there, right? But I'm pretty limited with this body. Can't do that kind of... I'm not Superman. I can't do all that kind of stuff. I can do good things. And there's some talents in there, and there's some opportunities in there, and there's some strength in there, and there's some thought in there, but it is not fully what God had planned. So here we are, that little tiny seed in this life, frustrated, because we wish we were different. We wish we wouldn't mess up. We wish we could do things better, stronger. We wish we could be a different person and not have the same battles that we have. Okay? And God is saying, wait. Trust me with this. Trust me. It's probably not by accident that God made it or put it into the human heart to put dead bodies in the ground. Every culture buries them, right? They burn them, and that pretty much at sea, they still bury it. Okay? Right? However they prepare the body, okay, essentially, they do not leave it around them and drag it around. Okay? Unless if they are ultimately looking to bury it somewhere else. And there have been cultures that do that. But they feel unrested until they get that body in a certain plot of land or put it somewhere. Okay? It's kind of ironic, I guess, in a way, that all cultures do it. Put them in the ground, some way, somehow. Okay? Bury the body. Just like a seed is planted. Okay? To wait for the full potential for that to happen. And God resurrects the body. So then what happens? Verse 38, where we left off. So we planted the seed. It's like that. Verse 39 all the way through verse 44, please.
All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of his, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds.
There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is one. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, the glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption.
It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power.
It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body.
Okay, so what he's saying is this. You look all around you, and everything's made a certain way. Everything has a form. Everything has a function. You're sitting at tables made of wood. Okay? Came from a living tree. You don't say, whoa, what is that top? I don't know what that is. Is that made from a star or a rock? No, you look at it and say, well, that's obviously wood. Because, why do you know it? Why is that wood? Because it's got grain and knots and thickness and a certain hardness. And you could touch it and feel it and you say, that looks just like wood to me. Now, if this seems obvious, it is. Okay? This is what I'm saying. Paul's saying, yeah, you look at the animals. Birds look different than hippos. Yep. And everybody says, yeah, this is dumb. Where's he going with this? Right? Stars look different than rocks. But all of these things have a way that they're made. Everything's got a form. Everything's got a shape. And you look at it and you say, well, that's very clearly that way. This type of creature has this. This type of object has this body. It's made out of this form. It looks like this. But when you get to a spiritual thing, you say, well, that can't be true. It's got to be different. It doesn't even make sense. But he's saying, God created this whole world this way for you to see and understand that there's some basic things and ways that he works. And he is going to create you a spiritual body that is not just a ghost floating around. It is a body with form and shape and abilities, with senses, maybe deeper senses than your little kernel of corn has today. Maybe you can't smell very well today. Okay? Maybe you can smell great. But God is going to do something even better. It's a tiny, tiny representation of what God's intention is. You all look around, you say, well, yep, that's metal, that's wood, that's plastic, whatever. I see it, I know what it is, I can identify it. And Paul says, you have to be able to identify spiritual things too. It's part of this world. It's part of how this all works, how God put it all together. God is God is God. He works the very same ways again and again because of his nature. When he creates things, you find connections through all of creation. Right? Unique things amongst all creatures, and yet you find threads that sew creatures together. Formations that they have. If you look at mammals, they have a lot of the same bone structures. Even a whale, inside that big old flipper, has finger bones. And all similar joints. Different lengths, different sizes, different shapes, but similar joints that you have. All right? This is because God made a really good thing, and he gave the ability, just like in our hand, to do things. He gave that whale the ability to move and pull that big multi-ton body that it has through the water like nothing. Right? He gave the ability for that. So, he says, you shouldn't find this weird that there is a body out there that is spiritual. You may have never seen one, but it's how God works. This little seed we have today, it's sown in, and it gives you a little list. There's four things that you are sown in today. So when you sow a seed, what do?
You dig a hole.
Dig a hole. Put it in the ground, right? So you sow a seed, and there's four things. It's sown in. You'll have to look in verse there. I think it was two or three different verses. Corruption. Okay. Dishonor. A natural body. There should be four. Weakness. That's my limit. My physical limit. That I can't jump off the steeple without getting hurt or dying. That's my weakness. I have a lot of other weaknesses too, but that's one of them, okay? So don't get me up there and push me off, okay? That's a physical thing, but it's also spiritual. This body, we have spiritual weakness. It is hard for us to say no to things. It is hard for us to stand up for what's right. It is hard for us to do the right thing all the time. That natural body that we have, okay, has its limits. You get blemishes. When you grow to be a teenager, oh man, all of a sudden what shows up on your face?
Acne.
Oh man. Right? You're stuck with it. You could do stuff. You could try to clean it. It happens, man. It happens. And then you're going to change. You're going to grow into a person that's an older person, and you're going to think, ah, I can do anything, and then you can't. And you can do less. And you don't even want to do as much as you once wanted to do. Okay? Dishonor. This is kind of a funny word. What's dishonoring about this body? What does honor mean, to start with?
To do it in one, to be faithful.
What?
To do what the body wants, to honor you, what you want.
But you can't use the word in the definition.
To do what?
When a Marine says, I have honor.
Yeah.
Okay, respect is a part of it.
Truthfulness. Honesty.
Honesty. Honor something deeper, and honor is a hard thing to just define, but there's one good word, is integrity, right? I will stand up and do what is right, even if it costs me. And we're saying, if I have honor, even if it costs me my life, I will do what is right. That's honor. But we find this body, we're frightened to do what's right. We don't stand up to do what's right. We are not honorable. Okay? We are not honorable. We are corrupt. And sin has taken over these things. So when God plants this new body, we plant it in the ground, and we are someday resurrected, what are we going to get? Corruption gets... That's the easy one.
Oh.
Translates into this big corn stalk.
Incorruption.
Okay, so no longer do we deal with sin. And our body does not struggle in corruption also. Dishonor.
Glory.
Okay, so now not only are we based on good things, but everybody will know it and see it. Okay? Weakness?
Power.
Power. And that's where some of the cool things come in that we talk about, that in the world to come, you'll be able to do things. You won't be limited by your weak body in this world. Okay? You'll be able to do things and go places and be things that you never could be before. Because instead of that little tiny kernel of corn that started there, God's going to create the whole plant, and you've got all the potential now. And it's all showing. Okay? And what's the natural body? The spirit. The spiritual body. So you are going to go through this transformation. It is going to be a metamorphosis for you. Okay? When you die, you will move on to a way, living in a way that you've never lived on this earth. You will be able to experience things you've never been able to experience. It's exciting because you're not limited by those physical things that you are now. The sicknesses, the diseases, the things like that, that's all part of weakness. That's all part of the things that we struggle with here on earth in this little kernel of corn that our life is. Okay, so you will see greater and better things coming. All right. So what happens, and Solomon talks about this in old age, and this is what's a very interesting thing. Solomon has a little poem in the end of Ecclesiastes. It's not really a poem, but he talks about getting old. And he talks about your knees knocking and your hair getting white. And he talks about the fact that you can't hear anything anymore. I can't hear low tones. I can't listen to music like I used to, he says. But you know what used to happen? But what does happen? Some little bird at 2 in the morning goes tweet, tweet, and all of a sudden I'm up. And I can't sleep. And I can't, and I struggle with these things. And he said, and now, he says, my teeth get old and they fall out. And he said, And it used to be I was so powerful and young and I could run and I could do anything I wanted. And he says, now I got a little grasshopper lands on my leg and it's a burden. Because I get weak when I get old. It's not fun to get old. And Solomon calls them the evil days. The evil days, because everything hurts and everything's painful. And everything you have to take medicine for. And everything you just struggle with and struggle with. And he says, and one of the things you lose is your desire. You don't want to fight anymore. You don't want to struggle anymore. At your age, you guys have lots and lots of desire. And it drives you. And you don't know what to do with it all sometimes. Gets you in trouble sometimes. But as age goes on, you lose the desire to go out and take the world by the tail. Man, I don't really care. I don't really want to do it. All part of that corruption and weakness and dishonor in the natural body. But there's one exciting event, and this is where we're going to close with one exciting event. Chapter 15, back to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Verse number 51. Okay, so he says, not everybody's going to die. We're going to have something. Some of us will all be changed. He said, we'll all be changed, okay? But something's going to happen. Verse number 52.
In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed.
All right, so this is when it's going to happen. One day, God is going to say, that's the last day for earth. It's over. And all of heaven's armies are just going to turn about face and they're ready to go. Blowing a trumpet. Saying, we are coming. This whole struggle, this whole battle, allowing evil to be in this world is over. And I'm going to take it. And I'm going to wipe it out for good. You remember when he said the last enemy to die was death. Right? The last one to go was death. Because at that moment, the trumpet will sound, and it says the dead in Christ will rise. All right? All of a sudden, we're going to get up out of the graves. If you're dead and buried in a grave, you're going to get up out of the grave and you're going to become this new body, this new spiritual body, unlimited. Okay, you are going to be reunited. If you're already dead, you are going to exist somewhere in God's presence. And I don't know whether he gives you a temporary body or what he does then, okay, but at this last final time, he's going to take you with the body that he created for you, your skills and abilities and talents, which were this much. And he's going to say, that was the potential, but I'm going to show you what it's really going to be like. This is what my plan was. And you grow a whole stalk out of it, and all ears of corn off of it, and you become something better. And God says, the struggle is over. And I'm coming and I'm going to squash death. I'll show you what I did to death. Everybody, get up. And they all stand up out of the grave. That's you, that's me. Unless if you're still here on earth. Okay? And then if you're still here on earth at that moment, said you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? Way less than a second. Okay? You blink your eyes, and poof, you'll be changed. Because God has had the ability to do it. But God is waiting for the perfect time the last person to come to this earth that he wants, the last soul in his plan that he had planned for to be born. Okay? He had that intention all along from the very beginning. He knew every human that would ever be born. And he knew the moment, and only he knows. The trumpet blows, the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. All of a sudden, you are changed. You are never to be limited again. You will not struggle with your sin. You will not battle with the things that you hold dear in this earth. You will have desire. You will have ability. Nothing will limit you anymore. Okay? And the things we've talked about for the last couple of weeks will be available to you. Okay? Purpose, love, kindness, and abilities, no limits. If you don't believe in these basic foundational things, then you have to really have a reality check about your relationship with God, because this is it. Now, it's out there, hard to think about, but God says it, and so I have to believe it, because His promises are true. Faith is belief in God's promises. Right? Belief in God's promises. That's what faith is. So if He says, I will come and I will raise you up from the dead, then you believe it. And it becomes a reality to you. Because God says, if you believe, you're mine. You belong to me. Okay? So the strength that you have in your faith to know, you will be recognizable. I will know each one of you individually. When I'm raised from the dead, and you're raised from the dead with me, I will know you. I'll know who you are. I don't know exactly how I will know you. Probably because we'll connect at a deeper level than we ever connected here on earth. Likely, we will be like God and we will connect spirit first. Spirit's a much deeper connection, a much longer connection. Their distance makes no difference with your spiritual connection with somebody. Okay? When you connect with somebody with their spirit, you understand them more deeply. Love, forgiveness, kindness, those things rule in godly spirit. Okay? So you will be able to connect with them on all these levels, and you'll have a different experience, a wonderful experience, more than you ever had here on this earth. Okay? Someday, the trumpet shall sound, and we will be raised incorruptible, no more to be struggling as this little kernel of corn here on earth. We will see what God's full potential is. Just believe. God says you believe, and you belong to me. You are my children. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Have a good evening.